الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد مفتاح باب رحمة الله عدد ما في علم الله صلاة والسلام دائمين بدوام ملك الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. واشهد أنه الله الذي لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إله واحد ورب شاهد ونحن مسلمون. واشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله بالهدى والدين الحق ليظهر على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. أما بعد يا عباد الله إني موصيكم ونفسي إياي بتقوى الله. We give thanks to our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala for bringing us together on this blessed day of Jumu'ah, this day of gathering about which our Prophet taught sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, خَيْرُ يَوْمٍ طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّمْسِ يَوْمٍ جُمْعَةٍ. The very best day that the sun has shone upon is Friday, is the day of Jumu'ah. This is a day in the next world, in paradise, that is known as the day of Mazid, the day of increase. In reference to the words of our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَهُمَّ يَشَاءُونَ عَنَّ رَبِّهِمْ وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيد. They will have that everything that they desire from the presence of their Lord that in with us is increase. And that increase refers to the beatific vision, the gaze upon the noble countenance of our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why that we say when we do something for the wajhillah, when we do something for the sake of our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that it's indicating the underlying motive behind what it is that we do. Our Quran teaches us to have sincerity and teaches us to be detached and disassociated from the various righteous deeds that we do. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. Indeed, that we only feed you for the sake of Allah. We do not want any recompense nor any thanks. إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. And by extension, each and everything that we do, obviously in relation to the ibadah, to the forms of worship, but also in relation to all of the mu'amalat, all of our dealings with people, whatever they might be, even if they are of a humanitarian nature, that is what the Quran teaches us, إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ, is that we are only giving food to you, we are only feeding you for the noble countenance of our Lord, for His sake, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that we need to learn to detach and disassociate a desire in our heart that we might naturally have for people to recognize us or people to affirm us, let alone for people to validate us. The true believer seeks validation in everything that they do and in their being and in their faith only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one that will validate us, not any person. Only our Lord can validate us. And everyone who enters into paradise and attains salvation, that's a sign that they've been validated by Allah Ta'ala. And after that, it is degrees. And in general, that we speak of that two different degrees. You have the Ashab al-Yameen, you have the people of the right hand, and you have the Muqarrabun. You have those that are close to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. But we know that there's other degrees that we learn about in the Quran as well. You have the Nabiyyin, and then the Siddiqeen, and the Shuhada, and the Salihin. And then yet another verse is that we know that there's the Zalim, فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمُ النَّفْسِهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مُغْتَصِدْ وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ. There are those that have oppressed their own souls. There are those that are somewhere in the middle. and then there are those that are at the foremost of every good. There are various degrees of paradise. And every single one of those degrees, the distance is like the distance between heaven and earth. The distance like that of heaven and earth. Meaning we're talking about in paradise that all of the disparate things that we see here in this world, all of the degrees, all of the distinction, it's going to be even more pronounced in the next world. When we enter into the final abode, may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala all make us people of paradise. I wanted to speak today about a very important topic. And this is a topic that, again, we are taught in the Quran how to deal with it. And this is the idea of learning to live in the moment. But I want to juxtapose that to something else, which sometimes that people actually get trapped in the moment. And there is a difference between living in the moment and being trapped in the moment. Living in the moment is something that we're taught to do. Is that we're taught through our sincerity and through our truthfulness to give 100% of our effort to be able to do in any given moment what is the most pleasing thing to our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not that which is just merely permissible, not that which is merely better, but that which is best. And this is possible for the human being to confine their behavior to only doing what is the very best thing that one could be doing in any given moment. And this is the secret for us to be able to attain the ridwan of Allah, the good pleasure of our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the secret of maximizing our potential. And this is the secret of us having exponential increase in every single given moment of our lives. This is possible for the human being. And if we're wise, and the other worldly impulse of religion is alive in our hearts, then this is something that we will desire. And to the degree that we desire it, will be to the degree that we actually strive for it. And this is why that there are three words in the Arabic language, all of which are linguistically related. And they will, if they provide for us, if you will, that a successive way whereby which that we actualize everything that was just mentioned. And the first of these words is that of muhimma, is that we have been given a duty. We are people of purpose, and we have a duty here on the face of this earth, is that we have not been created in vain. Subhanaka ma khalaqta hadha batilan. That you have not created this in vain, O Lord. Is that everything in creation has a purpose. Everything in creation has a function. Everything in creation has a wisdom. Are we to believe that the human being has been created in vain when everything else has been created for a purpose? Everything within our own bodies has been created for a purpose. So in an overarching sense, the human being has been created in vain? This is impossible. We've been created for a purpose. And this purpose, part of it relates to our relationship with our Lord, and part of it relates to our relationship with creation. As for the relationship with our Lord, is that we have been created to worship Him. We've been created to that establish our ibudiyah, our servitude to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to worship Him, the fruit of which is that we come to know Him. This is the purpose of the life of the believer. As for creation, is that we have been created to serve creation. We have been created to serve creation. One of the scholars of this time said something very beautiful. He said, "Min a'zam al-ibadat allati takhriku al-hujuba fi akhir al-zaman as-sa'yu fi qada' hajat al-nas." And there is no doubt that that is rooted in a Quranic perspective and a perspective of our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the great imams of this deen, when their heart becomes filled with the light of the Quran and the light of the words of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, oftentimes that you find wisdom that come into their tongues. That statement translates as one of the greatest acts of worship, one of the greatest acts of worship that pierces veils in the end of time is striving, doing one's utmost, doing everything that you can to take care of people's needs. And notice here that he said, Hajatin Nas. He didn't just say Hajatin Muslimin wal Mu'mineen. He didn't just say the needs of the believers, although that is something that we must do, taking care of the needs of all people to the extent possible. This is part of the way of our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and that this is the way that we can, that have a portion of this mercy that we've been given and then thus that we can then give back by striving to take care of the needs of the people. But it's profound here because that we know in a time what our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam referred to as taqarab al-zaman, when time literally would become closer together, in other words, is the way that we would experience that time is that it would have less blessing in it, is that one of the greatest things that we can do in that time is to focus on that dimension of service and helping other people. And this is why is that this type of act is that there are certain acts that will pierce veils. And what is meant by piercing veils? What is meant by that understanding is that there are certain things that prevent us from attaining what it is that we should truly be seeking. There are two different narrations. Both of them have the same essential meaning. One of them says that حفت الجنة بالمكاره وحفت النار بالشهوات, is that paradise is encircled, it is surrounded by difficulties, makarih, things you don't like, things that your nafs doesn't want to do. But if you overcome that and do that, there is immense benefit in it. Whereas the opposite is the case of the fire, is that the fire is surrounded by desires. But there's another narration that says, hujibatil jannatu wa hujibatil nar. It uses the word hujibat, which means to veil. And so in other words, is that there are certain acts that we do them, that they will pierce these veils for us and draw us nearer to the bliss of paradise. They will be a means for us to be able to that draw nearer to our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, but taking it back to this idea of muhimma, to the degree that we understand that we have a duty, will be the degree to which that we then understand that we need to have him. We said that they're linguistically related, and indeed, muhimma is related to him. Him is your concern. To the degree that we understand the reality of this world is the degree to which then we will have a concern to take our life seriously. To that focus upon that what is most important, which is establishing our servitude and serving creation. And then to the degree that we then have him, will be the degree to which that we have himma, which is our aspiration, our resolve, our ability to be able to actually actualize that what we want to do in real life. This is a part of the affair of the believer. And once we realize is that the responsibility that is upon our shoulders is an immense responsibility. In the Arabic language, the idea of responsibility relates to being asked. Mas'uliyah is responsibility. If you are mas'ul on about something, is that you are going to be asked about that responsibility. And all of us to some degree have some type of responsibility. And the wise person will look very carefully at his responsibility or her responsibility and that which is under their care, and to be able to uphold the right that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, or rights that Allah ta'ala has given that person or those things, in order to make sure is that when we are asked about that on the Day of Judgment, is that we will know exactly what it is that we need to say. And so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not created this world in vain. He has given us a purpose, and He has commanded the human being to worship Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we need to learn that every moment of our lives is a golden opportunity. And our Lord teaches us that we need to live in the moment. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزِّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ Indeed, those who say, our Lord is Allah, that and then they maintain uprightness, is that the angels will descend upon them. أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْسَنُوا Do not fear nor grieve. What is that teaching us? The nature of the human being is that we grieve over the past and we fear what is to come in the future. How much of our day do we spend grieving over things that have already happened? Things that we can no longer change of the past. The only way that we can change them is by living in the moment. And likewise, how much of our time do we spend that worrying about the future? A type of worry that in reality that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has guaranteed for us. There is a positive type of worry, and that's a religious worry. But we are taught to live in the moment. Because the best way to rectify the past and to be able to that determine the good of the future is to live in any given moment. And to understand is that we are required as a believer to know the way to maximize our benefit of every given moment. And the beauty of this is that there is no one or no thing that can ever take you away from your Lord and distance you from Him, except to the degree that you let it happen. Only if you let it happen can something take you away from your Lord or distance you from Him. Every given moment, every possible situation, whether it's something that is pleasant to us or whether it's something that is bitter, ultimately is an opportunity for us to do something that will draw us near to our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every given moment. And to the degree that we are present in the moment is to the degree that we will have that trait that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says is for the awliya. Alla inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. Indeed, that the awliya of Allah is that there shall be no fear upon them, nor shall they grieve. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ They are people that believe and they have taqwa. This is the trait of the awliya, those who are righteous, pious, and beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something that those who recognize that their Lord is Allah and that they do their utmost to maintain istiqama, uprightness, is that this is the address that they were here from the angels. And scholars differ. Some say this is as they exit this world. And some say this will happen after that they transition into the next world. But both teachings are teaching us to be able to live in the moment and the importance of living in the moment. But we said that's very different than being trapped in the moment. Sometimes is that when we're struggling with a particular situation, something happened in our lives that we're trying to process, is that it causes us to be trapped in the moment. And here is that we have to have the ability to know that we have a Rabb. And the meaning of Rabb is that He is the one that takes something from its beginning all the way into its end. That is the meaning of Rabb, is that we know in life that we are going to go through hard times. But someone who's trapped in the moment, when they're going through a difficult time, they'll give up, and then guess what? They hit rock bottom. But if you recognize in that moment where you're struggling, is that no, I can't give up. And I refuse to let myself be trapped in the moment because that is from shaitan. And that is one of his plots to get me to give up. And I'm not going to give up. And rather than I'm going to turn to Allah with more fervor and with more energy. And then guess what? A short time is not going to pass except that Allah is going to move you from that state of tribulation to a state of prosperity. To a state that you will find pleasant. But guess what? Even that is also a test for you. And actually, that it's more difficult to successfully navigate success than it is to navigate defeat. Although that sounds counterintuitive. There is a statement about the blessed Sahaba, And when we say the Sahaba, who are we referring to? This is the generation that had been trained by the best of creation, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These were people that knew what the meanings of iman were. These were people who knew what it meant to be able to respond to affliction and tribulation. What did they say? Ubtalina bilhazima fasabarna. Is that we were tried with defeat and we were able to remain patient. Lakin ubtalina bin nasri falam nasbir. However, is that when we were tried with victory, we found it difficult to remain patient. More difficult to remain patient in times of victory than it is in times of defeat. And this is why it is only the wise person who will know which doors to walk through, which open doors to walk through. In other words, that you could say is that it is only the person that has been granted tawfiq from Allah, enabling grace, that will be able to say no when opportunities arise and be very careful about what it is that they choose and what doors that they should go through. So there's a difference between that living in the moment and a difference between being trapped in the moment. And this plays out at our lives, our own individual path to Allah and everything that we experience, but it also plays out at the level of society, at the level of civilization. Yes, that it very well might be right now that there's a certain rhetoric out there that different people are saying different things, and the tone, unfortunately, is being set across the border in the country that I come from. And this is a tone that has unfortunately spread like wildfire that worldwide. And you could only imagine what the hisab, what the reckoning of people that are creating fitna is going to be like on Yawm al-Qiyamah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. What did our Prophet say? Al-fitnatu na'ima. Tribulation, strife, however you choose to translate fitna, is that it is sleeping. La'an Allah man aqadaha. May Allah curse the one who wakes it up. Is that anyone who sparks fitna in a family, in a community, in a masjid, let alone in the age of modern communication, such that you could say a lie on one side of the earth and it reaches the other side of the earth instantaneously, is that that person is mal'oon on the tongue of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the meaning of them being mal'oon is that they are distant from the mercy of Allah because of all the problems that they are causing, and that they are sources and means of people that distancing themselves from their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something very serious. But we have to recognize is that even though that we might be in an ebb, because you have ebbs and flows. You have times of high tide where the sea comes in and times of low tide where the sea goes out. You have ebbs and flows. You have ups and downs. Where you have times where things are for you and you have times where things are against you. Is that what? لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. In order that Allah may test which one of you is best in action. How are we going to respond to this? We must believe is that just as Allah, because everything comes from Him, has put us in this particular situation, if we respond to it in a way that is pleasing to Him, is that a short time won't pass except that we will see amazing things happen. And you know what? Oftentimes, even while that terrible things are happening, when you place your trust in your Lord, you will see amazing things happen. In fact, you will see unexpected things happen that really you could never possibly imagine that that thing could happen. Because Allah, He is the one subhanahu wa ta'ala that is in control. So our deen teaches us to live in the moment but not to be trapped by the moment. And that in both circumstances, circumstances that are pleasant to us or circumstances that are unpleasant to us, we are required to maintain our principles solely for His sake subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to do what is right because it is right and pleasing to our Lord for no other reason. And then distance ourselves from the opinion of other people and only seek the validation from our Lord, of our Lord. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِجَمِيعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ فَإِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وصحابته الأكرمين وتابعين لهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعلينا معهم وفيهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد يا عباد الله إني موصيكم ونفس إياي بتقوى الله. Part of the affair of being a believer is that we are aware of the moment that we are in. We have now entered into the blessed month of Rajab. This is a month that was a month that our Prophet ﷺ supplicated about. And he said, O Allah, bless us in the month of Rajab and Sha'ban and cause us to reach Ramadan. And that even though that outwardly that we might function according to the Gregorian calendar for work or for whatever reason, is that the internal clock of your heart should always function according to the Hijra calendar. And one of them said, and this is known, is that the lunar calendar, that one of the wisdoms is that the religious tendencies will always that be more powerful for those that allow the fitra to come to the surface of their being than the worldly tendencies. And generally speaking, is that the solar calendar is a calendar that facilitates worldly things easier, whereas a lunar calendar is that facilitates that religious practice. And so even though that we might function sometimes based upon that solar calendar, the Gregorian Christian calendar, your internal heart should function according to the lunar calendar. And you should be aware of the month in which we are, and that we should keep track of the Islamic months, because we have the blessed month of Ramadan coming up. And that one of the wisdoms in our Prophet ﷺ praying for the month of Rajab is that this is now time for us to be able to that prepare for the blessed month of Ramadan. The more you prepare from Ramadan from now, the more that you're going to get from that blessed month. And one of the greatest ways that we can prepare is by doing three things: repenting, seeking the forgiveness of our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending a lot of salawat upon our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and reciting Quran. Is that don't have Ramadan come and that you haven't picked up the mushaf for an entire month or 2 months or 3 months. Is that we should at very least, if you speak Arabic, is that there is no excuse to have a year pass and to not have done a khatam of the Quran. Aib. This is the book of Allah. How could we have a whole year pass if we can read the blessed language of the Quran and we have not done a complete reading of the book of Allah? Aib. Before our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the eternal speech of our Lord. Is that it means is that there's a deficiency in our deen. We have to take the recitation of the Quran seriously. If we don't give the Quran precedence, Allah is not going to give us precedence. If we don't prefer Him over everything else, He is not going to prefer us subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is that we must give the Quran its haq. And part of its haq is that we recite it, that we bring it to life by also putting it into practice. But especially that before the blessed month of Ramadan is that we should increase in recitation. So that when Ramadan comes, it's like anything else. If you try to train for a marathon and you don't train well and try to run it on that day, you could probably injure yourself. But the more that we prepare for Ramadan, when Ramadan comes, is that you'll be able to recite even more. Now that you're prepared, you'll be able to truly harvest the fruits of this blessed month. And they are so, so, so many. So let our internal clocks start to gear up to prepare ourselves for this blessed month. And one of the greatest ways that we can do that again is to repent from all of our sins and to send abundant salawat upon Sayyidina Muhammad, the Qa'id al-Ghur al-Muhajjaleen, the one who, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has gifted us to be our exemplar And he says about him in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهُ وَمَلَائِكَتُهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد ورضي الله تعالى عن سادة الخلفاء الراشدين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعلى جميع أهل بيت رسول الله المطهرين من الأرجاس وعلينا معهم وفيهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات المسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار We ask our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq in all of our different affairs. May Allah ta'ala bless all of our different affairs. Ya Rahman Rahimeen. Give victory to the Ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad. To grant relief to the Ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad. To return the Ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad unto him. Ya Rahman Rahimeen. Anyone who is in need, anyone who is asking you for anything. Ya Rahman Rahimeen. We ask you to be able to take care of their need. And we ask you, Ya Rahman Rahimeen, to be able to grant them everything that they're asking for. Allahumma, we ask you to place blessing in the month of Rajab. In the month of Sha'ban. And cause us to be able to reach Ramadan. Allahumma. Prepare us for the blessed month of Ramadan. Give us tawfiq in all of our different affairs. Forgive us of all of our sins. And bless us with a close, intimate connection with your messenger. An intimate and close connection to the Quran. A'waakum Allah, nasurakum Allah, and Allah ya'mu bil adil ihsani wa ita'id al qurba wa yanha'an al fahshai wa munkir al baghi ya'idukum la'alukum tadhakkurun. Udhkuru Allah al-Azim yadhkurkum wa shkuru an-ni'mi yazidkum. Wa la dhikrullah.
La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah.